10:38, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. And it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." It's not always 100% clear when we go through the Gospels of what the manner of arranging materials is. And this is one passage where it seems clear that either there's either a topical arrangement, or the Lord in his providence caused an event to take place right on the heels of another event that sheds further light on it. And if you look back in the text, of course, the preceding section dealt with the parable of the Good Samaritan and the need for mercy to be done, the need for those who are in Jesus Christ to be active in doing good works and in showing forth mercy to their fellow man, not just religiosity. But now this text about Mary and Martha provides for us a helpful balance to that, because we recognize that there is the danger of, and the potential of, being so focused on service, so focused on mercy and care for others, that we lose sight of the Lord, and that we lose sight of the real meaning of pursuing a relationship with him and of loving him. And for those of you who have served in the church or in other capacities, you know that there are times that you get so caught up in the service that needs to be done, this work that needs to be done, that you can easily lose sight of the Lord and of the one who you're serving. The same thing can happen in our homes, that we are trying to show love for somebody else in our family. We're trying to render some act of service to them, and in doing that act of service, we're so engaged in that act of service that we forget the people who we're trying to love. And maybe they come along and say something to us, and we snap at them, and it demonstrates actually that we've forgotten about the person we're showing love to, and instead are focused on the task at hand. And Martha speaks to many of us who find ourselves, find it very easy for ourselves to be task-oriented and to focus in on things that need to be done rather than on people and relationships. And so one of the questions that we need to examine in our own lives is, in my relationship with Christ, am I sitting at his feet and enjoying being with him and enjoying learning from him? Or am I so caught up in all the pressures and all the areas of service that I'm trying to do that I lose sight of that love and relationship for him? And so recognize that we're called here to hospitality for Christ, and not to let our service of Christ interfere with being hospitable and loving toward him. There's an obvious situation that develops, and it's one that probably you've experienced in your homes at various times, where there are a guest or guests to be entertained. And Jesus, as he's going through the various villages, as he's on his way to Jerusalem, he happens into the village of Mary and Martha. And as he comes there, He comes to the house of Martha, and she welcomes him into her house. Now, where did Mary and Martha come from? We aren't told a lot in this passage. Of course, we know that their brother Lazarus would be raised by Jesus. Actually, this is something that I meant to look up and did not, is what the order, what the scholars think. Did this event take place before the resurrection of Lazarus or after the resurrection of Lazarus? But this is Mary and Martha, and Jesus comes in to their house. Now, recognize, of course, it's easy to come away from this passage and have concerns about Martha, and Martha and her focus is not right in the passage, but Martha and Mary are disciples of Christ. They're both followers of Christ. And in fact, verse 39 makes that clear, that Martha's sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So both of them had partaken of, and to some extent do partake of, the teaching of Christ. They both humble themselves and learn at the feet of Christ. And so both of these ladies love Jesus Christ. So this passage is not about, it's not about the woman who got so caught up in service that she was not converted, and the other woman who was converted. It's about two converted women who are disciples of Christ, who love him dearly. And to Martha on this occasion, we aren't told if this is an occasion where she was where she encountered unexpected guests, where she wasn't expecting Christ and all who were following him to drop in on this day, or whether she's overwhelmed simply because of the number of the guests. And it could easily be either one. I think you all know of the pressures that can come in both of these situations. There, obviously, the phone can ring sometimes and somebody says, I'm 5 minutes away and stopping by to see you. We had a family a few years ago call us up and tell us that they were 20 minutes away and would like a place to stay for the weekend. And we were quite surprised by this opportunity. And so you're getting a little bit of a panic mode, a little bit of a tizzy all of a sudden, trying to work out all the details. But even if you had, even in times that you do hospitality and you've had a week or 2 weeks or a month of notice, it's so easy to be overwhelmed by the needs of people as they come into your house. And in this situation, once again, in defense of Martha, even if she had been forewarned, the number of people who she would have had in her house on this occasion, probably, it seems quite reasonable to say, it would have exceeded any number of people who she had previously entertained, because we have some sense of the idea of the people following Christ. That's not to say that this was an occasion where she had to provide dinner for the feeding of the 5,000, that, she had to get that many people under her roof. But this is probably more than just Jesus and two or three others. And so, in the midst of these people descending on her house, Martha, Martha and Mary exhibit to us two very different approaches as they deal with this situation. Martha seems to be what we might think of as a type A person. And in a couple of ways that we see that in the passage. First of all, notice in verse 38, who owns the house? Martha's the investor. She's the planner. Mary's the sister who can live with her, but Martha is the one who owns and has control of the house. Also, Martha is a woman who has some opinions, and she's willing to express those opinions and to speak to Christ about her concerns. Whereas Mary is much more able to block out distractions, right? And to not, and the needs of people, the fact that the house is getting, that there are people are tracking dirt into the house, and that we need water for the people, and somebody needs to work on, making sure that the bread is laid out nicely, and that the butter is put out, and that, that these things get laid out at the right time and in the right sequence. Mary is maybe a little bit more of what we might even think of as a little bit of an airhead, who is oblivious to these sorts of things. We know somebody who is getting married in the near future, and this couple has talked about wanting to do hospitality. And Ruth and I wonder about this couple. I think they will do hospitality, but we worry a little bit that the people will show up and they'll say, oh, I guess we should have had something to eat tonight since we invited you for dinner. So there are different types of people. There are different temptations that we all face. In this regard, maybe you're having trouble envisioning Mary and Martha and their different approaches. Well, if you're having trouble envisioning that, think to our own fellowship lunches and the fact that toward the end of the meal, and this is not intended to point the finger at any one or group of people, because I think we all take our turns doing this. There are certain months where, and I always get a chuckle out of this, you look around as people are cleaning up and there's a couple tables of people still sitting and talking, enjoying the fellowship. That's why we're there. We call it a fellowship meal. We don't call it a cleanup meal, but people are enjoying being together. Others of us are up busy cleaning up. We got to get this done. We got to get the cleanup done so we can get it off our to-do list. Well, that's what's going on here with Mary and Martha. Martha sees the work that needs to be done, and it weighs on her, and she wants to get it done. And Mary sees that there's an opportunity to be with Christ, and so she spends the time with Christ. Well, Martha encounters the temptation that is common to us, the temptation is to focus on the work that needs to be done, to focus on my service rather than on my guest. That's true in hospitality, isn't it? How easy it is to be all wrapped up in making sure that things come out of the oven at the right time, that, that the person's comfortable in this, that the dishes are laid out exactly right, that everything is perfect, rather than spending time with and focusing on the guests at all. And Martha here is distracted with a very good thing, and yet she is missing a better thing. And notice here, and she comes to Christ with that concern, doesn't she? Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me in service alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And notice Christ's wisdom, and we can learn from this wisdom. Christ, time and again, and actually this would make a great study of the life of Christ, Christ's ability, when people come and ask him questions, to manipulate him into saying and interfering in controversies in the way that they want him to, Christ has this ability to transcend the controversy and to speak to the needs actually as they are. He doesn't say get involved with dictating the job lists that need to go on in the Mary and, who should be responsible for trash removal and who should be responsible for filling the water pitchers and making sure everybody does their fair share. Instead of dealing with that at all, he goes right for Martha's heart. And he points out, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Many things. What are some of those things that Martha was worried and troubled about in this text? What are they? Well, one of the things is, one thing that Martha is worried and troubled about that we can identify is, Martha is worried and troubled about everything being perfect. Martha's caught up in what we get caught up in, which is that that hospitality, think specifically about hospitality, that hospitality is a reflection on me, as opposed to hospitality is an expression of my love for you. Right? Martha is troubled and worried because everything has to be perfect, because it reflects on me. It's not that it has to be perfect, because if it's not perfect, Jesus and the apostles are going to be angry about it, or upset, or frustrated, or in a difficult position. She's upset and troubled and worried because this reflects on her, and by extension on her sister as well. So she's scrambling about. And it really, in our lives, and you know this from your hospitality, what it really comes back to is our pride. Do I measure up? Right? How does the meal I'm offering, how does the night's sleep I'm offering to you, how does that reflect on me? Rather, instead we should reflect on, I'm doing this to show love for you, and how can I show love for you in this? That's one of the worries that Martha has. Is everything perfect? Another worry that Martha has here is that Martha wants to make sure that there is equal work, right? And we get caught up in this spiritually, don't we? Where the Lord sends some work and, you know, there's an opportunity for service and we start working and halfway through the service we find ourselves looking around and saying, well, but wait, there are other people in the church who aren't doing nearly as much as I am. Or the Lord sends some suffering into our lives. And we say, but Lord, what about this person over here? They aren't suffering at all. They seem to be getting on quite well with their health or whatever. You know, their children aren't struggling in the ways that my children are struggling. Why? What's going on here, Lord? Think about at the end of Christ's life when he tells Peter, remember at the end of the book of John, Christ tells Peter how he will die. And Peter says, well, Lord, what about this apostle? What about John? You know, can't we, isn't he going to suffer too? And that's the same pit that Martha had fallen into here. Christ, it's not fair. You're not requiring the same service from Mary that's being required from me. So that's the second area where Martha was troubled. The third area that troubled Martha is that her work was not being valued and appreciated enough. It was as if Christ is over here teaching and instructing, and everybody over here is enjoying this, you know, and learning from and eating up this teaching and instruction. All the while, she's over here working, and there's no recognition from this group here of all the work and suffering that she's doing. Doesn't that happen to you sometimes in service? You're working hard at something, and yet no one seems to be taking any notice at all. And what happens is you feel those troubled feelings, those even angry feelings welling up inside you. You know, I'm not going to do work for these ungrateful people. If nobody cares about what I'm doing, fine, I won't do it anymore. That's the way that we react. And Martha experienced that same trouble, that same struggle that we do. My work is not being appreciated and valued enough. And the privilege this week of talking on the phone to a lady who's worked at the OPC mission headquarters. We're going to be having our global mission meeting there in a couple weeks. And she's worked there for 26 years now. Linda Posthuma. And one of the things that I could tell just by talking to her and having been there before is this is a lady, she's a single lady, and she works apparently every, you know, all week long, but they're going to actually host our meetings until 9 o'clock on Friday night, that's no problem with me. You can stay here. I always have work to do. I said, but you know, we meet also on Saturday morning. I said, you don't need to be there. And she said, no, I'm always on Saturday mornings too. And it's very clear that Linda, if you read the brochures and things about their missions, the people who their mission work is identified with is, of course, the missionaries. But also, if you think about their headquarters, there are two ministers who headed up, Douglas Clawson and Mark Bube, and you hear their names all the time, but you could probably give and be involved in giving to missions without ever hearing Linda's name. And yet Linda is very clear to me, is probably the person who really makes that organization tick and move forward. Well, back to Martha. Part of Christian service is that not being concerned about me being recognized. Part of Christian service is saying, you know, it really doesn't matter who gets the credit as long as Christ gets the glory. And when our concern is that Christ get the glory and not that people see me, when that's the concern of the church, that Christ be glorified, the church, the body of Christ, can do great things. So when we get concerned about, are people noticing the sacrifices that I'm making? Are people noticing what I'm getting done? That's when we end up at odds with each other, fighting with each other. Okay, so those are three of the concerns that Martha had. Is everything perfect? That the same equal work is not being required from Mary? Is my work being appreciated and valued enough? One more thing is, Martha struggled with believing that productivity equals value. That the more productive I am, the more valuable I am to the Lord. Instead of saying that that the Lord loves me, because he loves me, Christ wants to spend time with me and be in my house, she evaluated her value based on her productivity. You know how we know this? I think you can read it in the text between the lines as she comes to Christ. One of the ways that we know this is, or at least one of the ways I know this is, because I struggle with this. Right? It's very easy to believe that Christ's love for us increases as our productivity for Him increases. That the more I'm doing for the Lord, the more He is going to love me. And of course, the difficulty with that is, there are several difficulties that it produces. One is, as we age, we aren't as productive as we used to be. What happens if we're disabled and can't do areas of service that we've previously done? Does that mean that Christ loves us less? It certainly does not. And so we need to avoid that trap of the more productive I am, the more that God loves me. It's springtime, so we're out planting our gardens, right? But the way that you choose what type of tomatoes to produce, to grow in your garden, is not solely based on which kind of vines will produce the most net weight of tomatoes. There are other considerations as well, right? You look for flavor in your tomatoes. You look for size. You look for texture in your tomatoes that you're going to plant. Well, in a similar way, Christ's love for us is not based solely, or, you know, it's not based on our productivity. He loves us because of who we are, and He has chosen us and decided that He's going to love us. All right, so those are some of the temptations that Martha is faced with. Just a couple applications at this point. One thing is for your hospitality. As you have people into your homes, remember that not everything has to be perfect. It's better to have people over and to do it in the environment that you have than to say we're not going to have people over because we don't have time to get things perfect. And then secondly, when you get the people over, make the people the focus. The people are first, not the production, not the food, not the environment, you know, not all of those things. It's spending time with people. In addition, there are lessons here for our approach to life. Obviously, there are many spiritual activities that we need to be careful that our motivation and what compels us is not our checklist or the desire to look better, to feel better about ourselves or our ego, that I do this for Christ because it makes me look better to other people. That's what was revealed about Martha in this situation, that her service was based in part on wanting other people to approve of her and to say that she was doing such good work. All right, so that's the temptation. And we've already talked to some about solutions to that. But ultimately, the solution is that as we do hospitality, whether it's hospitality to one another, or as we do hospitality for Christ in our lives, where we welcome Christ into our lives and to go along with us through life, we need to remember that the solution to this is that love is the goal. The reason why we bring Christ into our lives and bring Him along with us is to show our love for Him. That's the point of hospitality. That's the point of entertaining, if you will. And Christ points this out in verse 42, doesn't He? But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Only one thing is needed. It's interesting that Christ doesn't explicitly identify what that one thing is that's needed. But the one thing clearly is a desire for fellowship, a love, a willingness to be with Him, to sit at His feet, learning from Him. The one thing that is needed that Mary has that cannot be taken away from her is a focus on Jesus Christ and a love for being with Him. And that can never be taken away from her. And so we too need to structure our lives and our service to Christ around that which cannot be taken from us. You know, if you're disabled tomorrow, if I lose my voice tomorrow and never regain it the rest of my life so that I can't preach, do I have something that can't be taken from me with Christ? Or is my value and my tied up in my personal service to Christ? And you can ask that about yourselves. If something that you think of, you know, think about, what do I do for Christ? If that was removed from me, would I still be content? Could I still be happy? Would I still be thankful? And would I still be able to show Christ that I love Him, even in a disabled state? One of the reasons why this is important to remember to focus on what can't be taken from you is remember those chilling words toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount where people come and say, Lord, Lord, I've done this great deed of service for You. I've done that great deed of service for You. And Jesus says what? I never knew You. I never knew You. The real point is to know the Lord. And so remember to keep Christ with you in your service. And so whatever it is that you are doing in life, always be asking yourself the question, why am I doing this? What's the compelling motivation? Is it really love for Christ or is it love for me? And if it is love for Christ, then we can ask ourselves, well, is this really the best way for me to be with Christ? To spend time with Him, to show Him I love Him? Or am I just caught up in something so that it will reflect better on me? Martha was not a bad lady. Martha wasn't a lady who didn't love Jesus. She wasn't a lady who wasn't concerned about Christ. She was a lady, was a person just like you and me, who often got distracted from the real point of what it means to follow Jesus. And instead of exalting ourselves above Martha, let's acknowledge our similarities with Martha and learn from Christ's loving lesson to her, learning to focus on those things that can't be taken from us. So brothers and sisters, don't let your service, don't let your different activities get in the way of your hospitality and love for Christ. Remember that the goal of our hospitality is a relationship and a love for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this important reminder to us, this important lesson, Lord, about your love for us, about the fact, Lord, that your love for us is not tied to our performance. Lord, help us to remember that and to keep our focus on you and on our relationship with you. Lord, help us to remember in the midst of serving you, Lord, to truly love you and not just to be consumed with the responsibilities and the activities that we're doing. But Lord, help us to always be consumed with a zeal and a love for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.